forever. Dog.
Be careful what stories you tell around the fire. This week on the podcast, Sean Sarles' Campfire.
Welcome to Teen Creeps, the podcast that discusses YA pulp fiction. I'm one of your hosts, Lindsay Kaytai.
I'm another one of your hosts, Kelly.
Today we are discussing Sean Searles' Campfire with a very special guest. You may remember him from Public Domain Theater, and now you can remember him from Teen Creeps. He's the co-host of Culture Kings on a network, and he is the host of The Wokest on Earwolf and a TV writer. It's Edgar Montplaisir.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. You are correct. It is Culture Kings is on a network.
Yeah,
and it's fair,
right?
That you don't know, because I guess technically How Stuff Works doesn't exist anymore because it's now owned by iHeartRadio.
Right. Oh. Well, here's why you saw the just utter fear in my eyes, mm-hmm, when I went to say what it was.
Yeah.
Is because I started to say, how did this get made? And I was like, that's not the name of the network. Yeah. So then I just said a network.
How did this get made is a more fun version of How Stuff Works.
I am now, mm-hmm, I'm now putting that together. So because I've been there. I've been to that. Their facilities are nice.
Yeah, we did. Bechdel.
And I did Daily Zeitgeist.
Oh, you did Daily Zeitgeist?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Jack and Miles. They're my parents.
They're wonderful.
They're my parents.
Wonderful beings.
It's always nice when you get along with your parents.
Yeah.
Must be nice.
Yeah, I don't get along with my real parents, but...
Yeah.
Can I say something before we begin?
You must.
Please do.
Lindsay, you have a very adult nerd home, and I enjoy it. You know what I mean? It's like, it's nerdy, but it's adult. It's very mature. Everything is well organized and... well kept, you know?
It doesn't feel
better.
It's not like a nerd home where you go in and it's like, oh, there's like a terrarium in here that smells really bad.
Exactly.
It's like clean and it feels grown up.
It's less on the toys. There are toys, but
there are toys.
Not a ton of toys.
There's not a wall of toys.
A ton of toys are upstairs on shelves.
Exactly.
That's adult.
The toys belong to the boyfriend.
Yes.
And the books largely belong to me.
That makes sense. What about the board games?
Board games are mostly mine.
Okay.
Certainly Dirty Dancing, the board game.
No WWE.
That is Mike's.
Wow. Okay.
Is that a board game or?
And the Dirty Dancing is Mike's as well?
I think it's some kind of board. Yeah. And Dirty Dancing and Sweet Valley High are both Mike's.
Okay.
And then
Margaritaville is
The biography game.
That's also Mike. My only two board games up there are Sweet Valley High and Dirty Dancing.
Okay.
The rest are his.
What about Hollywood Cats?
That is a gift from Mike to me.
Okay.
So that's a joint effort.
Okay.
Buffy is mine. Mm-hmm. Cogsworth from Beauty and the Beast, another gift from Mike to me. All the Nancy books, gifts from Mike to me.
You big Drew head? Or is that not Nancy Drew?
Oh, different Nancy.
Damn.
Nancy is a really great comic strip from the 30s. It started in the 30s. It's continuing now. She is such a weird, gross little girl.
It's very funny.
Okay. It's really, really funny. She's a little monster.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was Nancy Drew. I read a lot of Nancy Drew growing up.
I liked Nancy Drew a lot, too.
And Hardy Boys.
Mm-hmm.
And Encyclopedia Brown.
Oh, my God.
Couple of the, 80s reboot teen Hardy Boys books.
Oh, yeah. They go to the amusement park. And every cover is a photo.
That's
clearly
We did one with Fernie that was one of the Hardy Boys' girlfriends dies in an explosion on the first page.
She
gets blown up in a car.
Oh, man, this is real.
Yeah, they were trying to compete with Mission Impossible.
Very much.
Yeah.
And then I have a couple of the Nancy Drew case files, which are girl version.
And I have a couple too, because we plan on reading them for the podcast at some point, but we haven't yet.
They're so very she has to go pretend to be a model.
Yeah.
Very.
Hope she doesn't get anorexia.
Yeah.
It's what is happening?
No, she just solves a crime.
Okay, so we are reading The Campfire. Campfire?
Campfire.
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 Just Campfire.
By Sean Sarles.
Now, so do first, before we force you to give a plot that may or may not exist,
mm-hmm.
do we all have like a quick like takeaway, like what our general feeling about the book was?
I don't like the way he writes.
Mm.
Is that rude?
No, you can say whatever you want.
I think that he describes things too much. He uses too many adjectives.
Mm.
Like he'll be like the boy's brilliant, white, bright teeth. And I never heard somebody call someone's teeth brilliant before. That's what he calls the counselor. What's that counselor boy's name that the girl likes?
Caleb.
Yeah, he called his teeth brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know. I'm very subconscious about my smile. But maybe that's really why it bothered me. But I was like, yo, this dude's teeth can't be brilliant.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I don't remember. That line doesn't stick in my head.
He describes things a lot.
Oh, and his eyes. His blue eyes.
Yeah,
he talks about brilliant his eyes. Blue eyes. He's got brilliant blue eyes.
I just remember that dimple.
Oh, he has one dimple. What did he say? It's like the one cheek dimple. I was like, I've never heard someone describe a dimple like that.
That is usually how dimples get described in these books. It's usually like, whoa, a dimple in one of his cheeks.
Yeah.
So cute.
Yeah, I think he described things too much, and he has a very, very puritanical view on things, on marijuana and sex. It's like, shouldn't be doing that.
It was very funny.
Really weird.
Yeah, it was very funny that the there seemed to be a hierarchy of like things that the author was okay with. Like marijuana is no. Drinking is like less bad, but still bad.
Drinking is for abusive dads.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God. Uncle Ed. So abusive.
Who's married to a Korean woman for some reason.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot, like, to me, I was like, it's very interesting. It's classic, like, white is default.
Yep.
Because, like, we don't know the race of anybody
else.
But that's very interesting and unique. Like, it reminded me very much of my ex's aunt one time was like telling me this story, and she's like, oh, this woman I work with, Sarah, she's Asian to me. I was like, cool. Which is like classic, like, oh,
like you.
Yeah. Like it's very like, you know, so it was very
you
white.
You don't have to yell it at me.
Yeah.
He also describes her as petite, which I think is very weird.
Well, because she's
classic.
Asian.
Yeah. Small.
Petite,
and then that
beautiful.
Explains, of course, that explains why Brian is a little bit petite.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's, I was like,
did you guys feel?
No.
Okay. I mean, this is going to be ... because I don't know if you read this far.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe you shouldn't say
that. Yeah. Okay. I have a theory.
Don't risk it.
I have a theory about
Brian.
Okay. Well, I definitely didn't get that far. if you have a theory
about
Brian. I
have that
Bryce.
Theory as well.
It's weird that, like, they think that Brian, what did she say? Like, Brian doesn't have his dad's brawny structure.
Yeah.
Perhaps because his mother is Korean. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That's such a weird sentence to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he can't be strong like his dad because he has an Asian mom.
Yeah. Yeah. Oof. Well, because
it's like,
Asian men are
Mulan?
What? Sexless.
Yes.
Yeah, true. Li Shang, hottest dude.
And
Disney
strong.
Prince.
And strong, very strong.
What's her name? Is it Megan? What's the Maggie?
Oh, Maddie's the main
Maddie.
Girl.
Maddie, she's too perfect.
They always are.
She's so perfect. She doesn't smoke weed and, oh, this horse is tripping out, but don't worry, Maddie's going to hold on.
It's Mustang Maddie.
I like that name, but I'm not going to let him know. Fuck out of here.
Okay, so then
why do you like
know?
That name?
Okay.
So embarrassing.
When the second
hot ass Caleb says, like, I'm going to call you Mustang Maddie, I'd be like, well, I'm never going to be attracted to you ever
My boner's
again.
Gone.
It's like,
that's
well,
crazy.
Bye.
So, okay, I don't know if you got to this part then, because there is a part where she's not perfect and it's very embarrassing. Do you remember
that
part?
Oh, yeah. I loved that part.
Where I literally, like,
I was like,
cringed.
Oh, no.
I was like, stop.
All right.
Okay.
Let's make you
tell us the plot.
Okay. So they at this camp, you know, Maddie, and she's riding the horse with her homie. What's her homie's name?
Chelsea.
Chelsea.
Help. Yeah, we can help you with
this. And Chelsea's like, you know, definitely never been to the woods before in her life. It sounds like her father and this mysterious businesswoman have taken them out camping because there's something else going on that they don't want them to know about. All of a sudden, there's a gunshot and Maddie's horse freaks out, but she hangs on, and then hot ass Caleb comes and helps her out. And then we meet her brother. Her brother's going off to college very soon, and Maddie's not excited about that. Then we find out that Maddie's mom died in an explosion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Her
which they only mentioned for one sentence.
Blew up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I guess like it was like they insinuate that it was kind of the mom's fault because like the mom stayed later than she should have or something like that. And then that's why the office exploded.
Also, didn't it kind of seem like it happened right after she takes her Maddie takes the first puff of a cigarette? So you're kind of like, is it because of the cigarette?
Yeah.
That is another prudish like, well, don't smoke because otherwise your mom might blow up.
Yeah, that happens in this show, Secret Life of the American Teenager, where there's like a really religious character. And then she loses her virginity for the first time. And then her dad dies in an airplane crash that same day. So then she doesn't have sex for the rest of the show.
Well, or maybe
she shouldn't.
Or maybe she's the character who hooks up the whole time. And then when she has sex with this. I don't know. I don't remember, but that happens. She's like the cheerleader. Anyways, Maddie and then... Chelsea has a crush on Maddie's brother. But Maddie's dating this bad girl, Abigail, who is the daughter of the business lady. Right?
No, wait.
Not quite. And I do think that you've read this part. But yeah, so it's... it's Abigail's sister?
Yeah, Abigail's older sister.
I finished the book and I thought Dylan and Chelsea were sisters. I got so confused.
Well, I got really confused because at the end, they're like, Chelsea's mom came and I was like, what? I was like, oh, she's not related to anybody. Abigail is Dylan's younger sister, and Dylan is the one who's dating the brother.
Chelsea wants to
fuck the brother.
Okay, cool. And then Abigail's supposed to be like a bad girl. Then they go looking for water or something. They're like filling up canteens, and while they're doing that, Maddie feels like something is watching her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she kind of lets it go. Okay, Edgar, you can do this. So then they're like walking back to the camp and they find Abigail and she's smoking weed and they judge her hella hard and like, your mom's gonna care or whatever. And I assume that they go to a campfire and Caleb...
Oh my God, Edgar, is this where you start reading the book? Oh my God. Oh my God.
And then Caleb tells a story about a monster.
Why are you here?
Oh my God. Okay.
Why are you here?
Okay, so tell us what happens in the rest of the book.
And then, so Caleb tells a story about a monster. And then that monster appears and starts killing people and attaching antlers to their heads.
Okay.
And then I don't know what happens from after that.
You have to
keep going. Okay.
What happens, Edgar?
I'm going to assume that the monster kills the older brother because he had a promising future.
Mm-hmm.
So he probably dies. I mean, you know, I'm going to say that the dad dies too. The dad probably dies.
Okay.
I'm going to throw in the businesswoman as well. She dies.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Abigail doesn't die.
Interesting.
Interesting.
And then maybe they think that the weird cousin is the monster for some reason. Because, you know.
Brian.
Yeah. They think that it's him for a little bit. And then it becomes very clear that it's Caleb. Caleb's out there murdering people. And then they solve it, and everyone goes home.
The survivors go home.
Yeah, the survivors. Yeah, because the dad is dead and the brother is dead.
Okay.
I've disappointed you guys so much.
I'm just imagining if you were, like, in this story, you would be one of the people that's, like, straight up torturing Caleb.
Yeah.
So.
Oof. Okay.
Can I explain why I didn't... I'm not a good reader.
I would hope so.
I'm not a good reader, okay? And... I want you guys to think, you guys are probably thinking, oh, he bought this book this morning or sometime today and tried to read it. That's not true. I bought it 2 days ago, but because we texted about it.
Uh-huh.
I can't read. Like, I was reading and I was reading it and I was like sitting in front of my TV reading it. Nothing was on the TV. Then I fell asleep and then I woke up and I was like, damn, how much of this book did I read? And you know, like how Kindle tells you the percentage.
Yeah.
And I saw the percentage and I was so mad at myself. Because I thought I'd read so much before I fell asleep.
What was the percentage?
It was like 2%. And then and that's how I started binge reading. I was reading like hella fast. I was like, oh, I'm going to burn through this. And then I looked and the final count is 18%. And look, I'm sorry.
Wow. Wow.
Well, I really respect that you still showed up.
Yeah.
Of course. I wasn't going to ditch on y'all.
A lesser person would have been like, something came up.
You know what? My tire did start squeaking. And I was like, is this about to pop? Because if this pops, I'm free.
My excuse.
Yeah, no. I was never going to abandon you guys. I was going to come here and face the embarrassment of the fact that I'm a terrible reader. And I guess I can only read deadline articles about the WGA strike. That's like my only reading level at this point. And even those I skim.
I will say that those are more engaging.
And they're more relevant to your life.
Straight up falling asleep.
Yeah.
The closer I got to the end, the sleepier I was getting. And I have not been getting a ton of sleep. Mm-hmm. And I had sugary macchiato from Starbucks, which I do not ever do.
Oh, no.
And
well, that'll crash you.
I was starting to crash.
You do not do coffee or you just don't do that particular drink?
I just don't do that. Don't do sugar in my coffee. And I only do a morning cup of coffee.
Yeah, I don't
drink
to coffee.
Have that at like 3 p.m., I was like, oh, this was a mistake.
Well, you read the book all today?
Yeah.
You read the book all today?
No, I read it yesterday, but I read it in one sitting.
In one sitting?
Yeah, like 2 hours.
This happens a lot or I'll read it over a couple lunch breaks at work.
Yeah.
I'll be doing this. A fast reader.
Yeah, yeah, we're fast readers.
But also, when I get to a certain point, I do start skimming.
Skimming, me too.
Very hard.
Especially
which was
if it seems
with
like
this book.
Nothing's really happening.
Well, then I'm like, ding, 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 ding. He has so many paragraphs about nothing, like explaining like how Maddie's holding shit. I'm like, I don't care. Like, tell me plot details.
Is so normal with this genre of just like the same thing kind of keeps happening. Mm-hmm. And it's like mystery, but you're not really.
Doing
I will
this
say
information.
A lot of people die. A lot happens.
A lot more than you think.
By the end, a fucking lot happens.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It picks up like once like the first person dies, it gets wackadoodle. Like people are dying left and right.
Yeah.
Are you ready to hear what happens?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So
I felt enough shame.
Did you get to the store? Do you know who Bambi the Bear is?
No.
Wow.
Okay.
Okay.
That's where I'm at.
Okay.
Okay. Because you already heard the story about the monster.
No,
you didn't. Bambi's the first story.
He guessed that.
I didn't guess that. Google told me that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you cheated that.
I didn't cheat. I tried to find a summary of the book online, and all I could find was these one sentences. I'm like, these aren't summaries. This is one sentence.
Okay. So they're like, let's tell stories at the campfire.
Lindsay's so embarrassed by me. I'm so hurt.
No, I'm delighted. I'm delighted by this opportunity. I'm dead.
Okay, so they're like telling all these, they're like, let's tell stories at the campfire. Mm-hmm. And like, they're like, we can all have a couple beers. Even the kids can drink. And Maddie and her friend Chelsea, they're like, pass. And they like don't have beer because they're
stuck up assholes.
They look down on drinking, smoking pot, and they slut shame Abigail hard.
Yeah,
what a bunch of tight.
They're like whatever
assholes,
you.
Bro.
Well, I will say that Abigail is.
Abigail's
calling.
A monster person.
Abigail is a monster. And she does say, like, to Maddie, like, nah, you can never, like, close the deal with Caleb.
Jesus
he doesn't,
Christ.
She's like, you can never close the deal with Caleb because you have never hooked up with anyone. And, like, you're
a fucking prude.
Yeah.
And you don't know anything about anything.
So that's where they fight with the water.
Yeah. And then that is when Chelsea's like, okay, well, just because you went through the whole baseball team doesn't make you an expert. And it's like, she was instigating, but also don't.
She said you went through the whole baseball team.
Yeah.
That's wild because baseball's not even that kind of sport where they be hooking up with girls. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I guess
I mean,
it is
maybe
in
it
this
depends
high
on the school, right? Are they like CIF champs?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The thing I did enjoy about this book is that, so it is a modern book.
2018.
Yeah.
Unusual.
It had the feel, a very accurate feel of like a slasher that would air, like a hack and slash series that would air on CW in like 2006.
Yes.
It had that feel. And so I did like that feel, especially when people start fucking dying.
Really like nailing this genre.
Yes.
So this was, I was like, this could easily be a book that came out in 1990, except for some modern references. And I will say, I really liked the friendship between Chelsea and Maddie.
I did like that.
Instead of like two girls just being jealous over one boy, which is very common in these books. That is true.
Instead, she was like, girl, get it. Go talk to Caleb.
And they were like, fucking ride or die. I will protect you with my life.
Yeah. They were good friends.
Yeah. They were genuinely good friends. And I liked that.
So they're like, let's tell stories around the campfire.
Okay.
So they all sit down. And the Aunt June, the Korean woman.
Julie,
I'm so sorry.
Well, first Caleb, before they start telling stories, is like, you might not want to do this because legend has it that if you tell scary stories under a full moon, they come true. Mm. And it's like, okay, that isn't what happens. But thank you, Caleb.
Yeah. So then they're like, shut up. And they start. And then so Aunt
Julie
is like, I have a story. And here's where
so I texted, as soon as this happened, I texted Kelly and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Because not only does she tell the story, the next chapter is the story.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
Yeah, weird. So you get a little scary story about Bambi the bear.
Which I respected the weirdness of that.
Me too. And
it was very Christopher Pike Midnight Club.
Yes. And I would have liked I would have liked three stories.
Yeah, Edgar gets it.
Yeah, he gets it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would have liked three stories just for a more round feel. There were two.
There were three. Caleb tells one. Which is why I thought that you read
that's just the line.
More, but because Caleb tells that. So we've got Bambi the dancing bear who eats human flesh.
Mm-hmm.
We have a crazy slasher psychopath.
Who
that's Charlie's story.
Red Raven.
And then Caleb's story is about him going out with a couple of shitty hunters who he hates. And he says this actually happens. And it's like, I don't think they ever answered that question over whether it actually... No, he tells Maddie.
He's like, it was fake.
So, and they come across the mountain people, and the mountain people kill the shitty hunters. And it's like, cool. But they carve little antlers into their foreheads.
Yes.
So those are the three stories that we get.
Yeah. So after these stories happen, like, stuff starts happening. Like, so after the Bambi the dancing bear, who is a circus bear that basically is fed human flesh by his owner.
His like ringmaster owner, like abducts teenage girls to feed to Bambi the dancing bear. Cause it's like a little shop of horrors situation where Bambi got a taste of human flesh
of his own hand.
And now that's all she wants to eat.
So then that dude shows up and starts kidnapping people.
Well, that's what you would think.
No.
But no.
So like there's like a claw mark on one of the trees. And then the dad
Mark,
the dad
is
Abigail's dad.
Yes.
So Abigail's dad, Mark.
Yeah, Abigail and Dylan.
Yeah, Abigail and Dylan's dad starts freaking out. And he's like, it's not safe. And he also like is just a dweeb. He's like wearing a dorky camping vest.
He's a cuck then.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. He's cucking it up.
Although
no, he ain't, because guess what?
He is doing the cuckolding.
Yeah. Guess who he fucks?
Who?
Aunt June.
No.
Julie. Yeah.
Julie. Aunt Julie, who is...
There is a scene where Maddie and Chelsea come across them, and they are both...
Buck naked.
Totally naked, and he is fucking her up against a tree.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And so, like... And at first it's hinted at, because I was like, he has a crush on her at first, because he's being very googly eyes towards her. And every time Uncle Ed, who is like the weird, abusive, alcoholic guy, like hugs her, Mark kind of like harumphs. And then you find out that he's fucking her. And then there goes our theory, right?
Yes. That was my theory, is that maybe Brian is actually Mark's son.
Yeah, because Brian is like a weak wimp too, and Mark is a weak wimp.
Because as we all know, that is definitely inherited and not at all to do with how you're raised or your personality.
True.
That's true. I believe that.
Yeah. Just like I am an exact combination of my parents.
Yes, as am I.
And everybody is. And this is a true thing we're saying, and not bullshit.
As it is, and so it shall be.
Yes.
Forever. So then.
So say we all.
So then, okay. So then, you know, like the, there's like claw marks and they're like, oh my God, scary, scary. There's a bear. So then Mark is like freaking out.
Commandeers a shotgun.
Yeah, he gets a shotgun and he's like, or a rifle. And he's like, I'm going to shoot.
I need this for protection.
But he's like, clearly should not have this gun.
No.
And he thinks he sees a bear. And so he shoots, but he like
I hated this part.
He nearly gets Maddie's dad, Mitch.
Yeah.
He like almost shoots one of them. But what he actually did was shoot a deer. It was not a bear. And so he like shoots this innocent deer.
It was a deer family. So he like killed the deer mom.
He had to.
Yeah.
Like Bambi. Speaking of Bambi.
You can't let it live. You can't let it like, because it's bad.
Well, he shot it so it was like gonna die in the woods. So Caleb goes and slits its throat.
Is that why the writer named the bear Bambi?
Oh,
probably thought it was a bear.
Probably
and it was a Bambi situation.
Probably, maybe.
Yeah, because if you let it live, it'll cry out in the night and attract predators.
Is that true?
You gotta kill it. I don't know. I play Red Dead.
Sounds right.
That's what happens in Red Dead. You gotta kill it.
Yeah, you gotta kill it.
You gotta kill it.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Ys. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Ys. Movies Baby!
So then...
So Caleb puts it out of its misery, and then...
Oh, and then this is the part. So she's like, I'm feeling brave. I'm going to go talk to him. And I took a screenshot of this because it was extremely, I felt so embarrassed for her.
Yes.
So, oh God, I just saw Mustang Maddie.
It's so embarrassing.
that's so funny.
God. Okay.
She's just, you know, she's just a basic white girl. That's not her fault.
It is not her fault.
Well, she's not the one who gives herself that nickname.
He gives it to her.
He gives it to her, but she likes it. And that's almost worse.
That's true.
I think it's worse to like it than to be given
it. Internalized misogyny.
That's true. Yeah,
like that she's a cool girl.
She's a cool girl. She's a
cool girl.
So okay. So she
doesn't eat salads. She drinks whiskey.
Yeah. She eats steak and she drinks steak and eats whiskey.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. So she like sees him and he's like cleaning off the knife or whatever. And she's like, so are you single? And he's like, what? Like, I'm just a camper guy.
I just really like being alone with nature.
She's like, well, what would you ever be with someone? He's like, I guess if I found the right girl. And what would make her the right girl? Maddie could not believe the words coming out of her own mouth, but she felt bold, invincible, like a superhero, like Mustang Maddie.
Oh, I forgot.
Well, you know, I'm 22. Caleb let the end hang loose, clearly uncomfortable now. So probably someone more my age. Mortifying. There is no other word to describe it. Maddie felt sick with embarrassment as her confidence drained out of her. I didn't mean Maddie cut herself off before she could dig herself deeper. Her cheeks were truly on fire now. And then she just runs away.
Is this the moment that y'all were talking about where y'all felt sorry for her? Nah, I don't feel sorry for her.
What?
No, come on.
Oh.
She out there shooting her shot. And look, I called her tight-lipped and I apologized because I meant to say tight butthole. And I don't know if that's better, but that's what I meant. But I don't know. I feel like she's like, she thinks that she's better than Abigail because she doesn't put out, right? Like, that's what makes her better than Abigail. But she also feels like she's entitled to this dude. Like, you know.
Also, you know, and moments like this are necessary.
Yeah.
Like, we all should experience rejection.
It's a learning moment. It's a teaching moment.
I did empathize with her because I was like, have been rejected before and you know that feeling. Yeah. Where you're just like, oh, no. What? I wasn't asking you out. I was just like wondering.
Just super curious as to like what you're talking.
Just like
was.
For my knowledge, like if you
were just like making conversation.
Yeah. But then what did you do after that moment?
Then I just moved on and lived my life.
Yeah. Did you start smoking weed and get cooler? And
I do not even know if I had the courage to ever ask a guy out until after college.
Did not go well.
What happened?
But I also didn't look down on people who I just wanted to be somebody who had sex and drank and smoked weed.
Yeah. Exactly. Me too. I didn't think it was bad. I was just like, man, I wish I was like invited to those parties.
But that moment made Maddie double down on her behavior.
She did double down because she continued to like judge Abigail. But something happens where something happens where she does take Abigail into her group.
Well, first, before we leave Caleb and Mustang Maddie in this moment, I do want to say I liked this book for not putting them together.
Yes.
Caleb being like, you are too young for me. I was like, hell yeah, Sean Sarles, because she is. Thank you for not making a creepy relationship.
Absolutely. Well, and it totally made him like a good person because like in a lot of the other books we read, either they do end up together, which is like, no. Do not tell 16-year-old girls that they should go seek out
22-year-old older men. Guys.
Yes.
Or like the guy just like never says anything and like lets the girl keep flirting on him.
Yes.
Which I'm like, if you're older, you should kind of be like,
set that boundary.
Right. Set a boundary.
Do they kind of like do like the whole like learn by fire kind of thing where they try it and then he ends up being a shitty guy and they go, I don't really like this. And then they end up with someone their age? Or?
Sometimes they straight up end up with the guy.
Really?
Yeah. And I would say it's definitely never like they learn not to go for older guys. No. It just like doesn't happen.
Like he just ends up not being interested.
And it's never about, it's like the books don't go, well, that wouldn't be appropriate. The books just don't have it happen.
Or there's books like Sweet Valley High where we just read where Jessica is 16 and she goes after a 20-something year old journalist. And
he's like 24.
Yeah. And they like.
He got a job.
Yeah. He has a job and he's hooking up with a high school girl.
I feel like these books like never, ever like get across because like, you know, everyone had like those kind of fantasies. It's like, those people aren't attractive. Like, you know, if he working out in the woods, he's not a good looking dude.
I know, exactly. And he probably like smells like shit.
Yeah.
Doesn't shower.
But has no social skills. He's in the woods. He said, I like to be alone weird with as hell. Trees.
Yeah, he's probably really weird.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he's going to be a dweeb.
Who knows who he voted for? You know what I'm saying?
Truly. That's a very good point. In today's day and age.
This could be a Chris Pratt situation.
Yeah.
Oh.
What? Oh, yeah. How he's
where he's
like,
just like super religious. Oh, but, yeah. Like, Chris loves Pratt. Hunting.
Yeah,
could be that. Although this guy didn't even seem to like hunting. Like he didn't like it.
He hated hunting. I will say that. He was a gentle soul.
Yeah, he was a gentle soul.
Sounds like a coward to me. I'm giving this dude a lot of credit.
Kill an animal.
Yeah, show me you a man.
I don't go for that.
Do you want to hear about a man?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Well, so there are some like boys camping out that Abigail's like told to come like hang out with them, and they're camping out like just right around the bend.
Damn, these dudes must have nothing to do.
Yeah, they schlepped they themselves out to the fucking mountain.
I've never.
Or one of them has a lot to do.
Yes, one of them is very busy.
Yes.
One of them is the boyfriend of Abigail, and he comes out there and he's like, I brought Jason. He's like, I brought my friend Tommy, who like, do you remember the boy that she rejected and everyone called her
Saint Maddie?
Mm-hmm.
That boy.
The very beginning of the
grown
book.
Up. So now he has a buzz cut and he's buff from baseball.
Not a sport. Again, I like to shout out baseball a lot, but baseball is truly a sport where you could be big as hell and it doesn't matter because you don't have to do shit.
No, you don't have to. Hello, Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Poppy. Poppy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So very quick for our listeners at home. The whole book starts out with Maddie being 11 and waiting for her mom to come out of the office.
Yes.
And she's had a very upsetting day because this bitch at school, Chelsea, like had everybody call her Saint Maddie because she refused to kiss Tommy after he had spit in the bottle because he had Funyuns breath.
Yes.
And then her mom blows up. And so then we find out that like when we then cut to the future and they're 16, she is actually now best friends with Chelsea because Chelsea visited her in the hospital after her mom died. Because her mom had died of cancer, and she's like, we're tragedy sisters now.
And then
they're really into that tragedy sister thing.
It's bizarre.
And Chelsea's the only person who didn't look at her like her mom died.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I don't understand what that means. To me, it just sounds like Chelsea lacks empathy. But
I think, I think it is pity, where people are just like, oh, and Chelsea looks at her like,
With a constant,
I just see you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I get it. Like, I'm not here to act in the drama of your pain.
Yes.
Whereas like a lot of people, if somebody died, they give you that like, oh, poor yeah, there was you this look moment, all the time.
Yeah, there was this moment in my school. There was this kid who nobody knew and he killed himself. Truly, like no one knew who he was because when we found out he killed himself, everyone was just like, who is this kid?
Mm-hmm.
But his parents came to our school for I went to a Christian school, so they came for chapel.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember his parents were on stage and one person ran up and hugged him. Then everyone came up and hugged them, hugged the parents. And I was like, this is whack as fuck. Like, y'all didn't know this kid at all. Like, we were all just talking about how no one knew this kid.
No, but I feel like a lot of times high schoolers like to...
Well, this was college, but yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
But young people, though.
Yes.
I think young people like to, bring themselves close to tragedy.
Yes.
Because they think it makes them... more interesting.
Yes.
Because I remember there was this really bad car accident when I was in high school where these girls, a drunk driver went up the freeway off ramp and hit them. And the two girls in front died. And
Where are you
from? I'm from Torrance.
Oh, wow.
So the two girls in front died. And then, I mean, it was mess. Like one of the girls had to drag her body to her phone or call it. It was this whole thing. But after it was over, all of a sudden, everybody was those girls' best friend.
Of course.
Everyone was like, oh my God, I remember all those times that I'm like, you didn't fucking know her.
Yeah, they all had t-shirts of her face and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like people, I remember a lot of kids when I was in high school did that for attention, just to kind of make themselves interesting. And I remember this one girl, we were in class and she just burst into tears and she did not know those girls.
No.
She just burst into tears and she was like, I mean, I just was remembering this one time that we ate together at lunch. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
You probably didn't study for the test.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? She didn't study for the test.
I think I need to be excused.
Yeah.
Which, respect, actually. Now that I'm thinking about that, I should have done that. But yeah, I feel
the tragedy tourist.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Exactly.
And
so that's why Maddie likes Chelsea's because she wasn't that.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just yeah,
that's
I get
why
it.
They like each other. Yeah.
She's like, actually it wasn't my mom's fault that she died. So I don't feel sorry for you at all. God took my mom.
Yeah. So my thing's actually
God
worse.
Took my mom. Fire took yours.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God had the devil. Nothing to do with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
My mom deserved it.
It was probably the mom's fault, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out.
We will find out. Oh my God. I can't believe, oh my God. I can't wait for you to find out what happens. Okay. So then, they tell the story, different stories happen and then things.
Oh, Tommy Funyuns breath. We find out that he went to town on his coach's car with a baseball bat because he was being cut.
Yeah, he's cut from the team.
Oh, this dude has anger issues.
So he has anger issues.
He's a classic, that white kid that has emotional issues in your class
but
that punches himself at the desk.
Ready for the army.
Yeah, that kid. So he's that kid. And he's I don't know what got into me. I went into a fugue state and I destroyed the coach's car with my baseball bat. So
I'm really ashamed of myself.
And then he tries to kiss her in the woods and she's like, I'm not into it. So
Thank
she
you.
Leaves.
Ugh, I was going to ask if she was going to be down for that.
No, she was like, I don't
she's
really.
She's kind of attracted to him just because he's a little built.
Well, and
but she's
even,
no.
She knows what she's doing, right? This was the part where I actually liked that she was aware of what she was doing. So she gets rejected by Caleb and she's like, I want to feel better about myself. Let's go to meet those boys because I know that Tommy has a crush on me and I want to get attention from him.
Maddie.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
and she out here judging Abby go.
Yeah, exactly. So she goes up there and she flirts with Tommy and she's like, yeah, I do feel better. And then he wants to kiss her and she's like, it would feel good to kiss him, but I feel weird. I just want to leave.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, sorry, I'm going to leave. And he's like, oh, it's cool. And he's
fine. I just remembered. Yeah, maybe. Mm. And I just remember that he tells Maddie, who's like, oh yeah, the one who picked me up, because he is now a felon. The one who picked me up from jail was your brother, Charlie. And we find out from Tommy that Charlie lost his baseball scholarship to college.
That's why he wearing that busted ass hat.
Yeah, he's wearing that busted hat.
He can't afford a new hat.
He can't afford a new hat. And also we learn, so she goes on a run and then she is wearing her earbuds, but no music. And so she overhears some talking. She's like, ooh, what's this? And it's her brother.
That's what they were talking about. Man, I thought they was fucking.
No.
Well, I wish that they were fucking.
No.
So
the only ones fucking are Aunt Julie and Uncle Mark.
So wait, so then Charlie sat there while she was crying about how they're not going to see each other. And he's like, I'll be a man. He sat there through that whole conversation and didn't tell her anything.
Yep. And also, guess what? Dylan doesn't know either. No. Uh-uh. So she's like,
she going to dump him.
Yeah. So she's like, she's like, Charlie, like, I just think that we should think about the future. And he's like, I don't want to. Like, I just want to be with you. And she's like, okay, but like, do you really think you're going to play like MLB baseball? Like, just be realistic. And he's like, oh, I don't want to talk about it. Let's just be together. And she's like,
I just think you should have your own interests apart from me in baseball. Yeah. I just want to make sure I'm not like hindering your growth as a person.
And he's like,
she's too mature for him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. She's too good for him. And he's like, fine. And then they kind of resolve it. And then, what's her name? Maddie's like, waits until she leaves, and she's like trying to wait for him to leave so she can go by. He won't leave. So she like steps away and she steps on a stick and it cracks. And then he like looks over. So she pretends, she like acts like she's all out of breath, and she's like, oh, hey, what's up? And then
like just ran in.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, hey, what's up? So he doesn't know she was listening. So then, so she finds out about, he lost a scholarship. Tommy and friend are like up on the hill. Tommy, got kicked off the baseball team.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens next?
Blah, blah, blah. Stuff. I think this is when we get Caleb's story.
Yes, let me hear Caleb's story about the mountain
next
people.
Day. Is somebody dead at this point? Mm-hmm. Is it Mark? Mm-hmm. So Mark has been brutally murdered.
Throat slit,
blood fucking everywhere, and antlers carved into his forehead.
His love and
yeah. Oh, yeah. So also, like, at this point, Maddie, the night before, Maddie saw Julie and Mark having sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, Mark is dead.
Yeah. So she's going on a run. She sees a shoe. She's like, that's weird. And then she sees another shoe, like, in a bush. So she pulls it. It's attached to a leg. Oh, my God, it's Mark. He's dead. Throat slit, just like in the Charlie's story.
Red Raven story.
Red Raven. And she's like, oh my God, are the things coming to life like from the stories we've been telling? She's freaking out. Screaming. everybody comes over. They're like, he's dead.
And then blah, blah, blah. Next people dead are Jason and Tommy.
Yeah.
In their little tent.
Yeah. So she goes up to the tent, because they're like, oh, where's Abigail? They can't find Abigail.
Yeah.
So she's
yeah.
like,
oh,
she, yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah,
she's
yeah.
Staying missing.
Yeah. So then they're like, oh my God, Abigail might be dead.
Maddie's like, oh yeah, tent full of boys.
She's
let's
probably
go
up there.
Look there.
They go up there.
Maddie, come on.
Trashed site. Their stuff is just fucked up.
Abigail's traumatized.
Abigail had found them. She's screaming. She's like in a ball on the ground. Jason is like wrapped in the tent, dead. Tommy is like laying face down, dead. And she like goes to like lift him up, and her brother Charlie's like, don't, it's like really fucked up. You don't want to see his face. And she's like
he's gone.
Yeah. And she's like, okay. So then,
oh yeah. And then she goes up to Abigail and she's like, now you're one of our tragedy sisters. And
no,
Abigail,
she does, not say
she
that
does
to
say
her.
That. She does say that to her.
Man,
and
Sean,
so
you know
suddenly,
better than that.
Yeah.
Suddenly Maddie, Chelsea, and Abigail are now best friends.
They're
because
best
they've
friends.
All been through something.
No, I feel like Maddie is latching onto these people who have been through worse tragedies than her. Like, of course, your mom died in an explosion is wild.
I was going to say, I don't know, that's pretty big.
Chelsea slowly watched her mother die.
And then
Abigail had her boyfriend brutally murdered.
And she
here's Maddie being like, well, where's
her boyfriend brutally murdered and her dad's throat slit.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was her dad.
Oh, yeah. I did, too.
So man. Just on sheer numbers, I think Abigail has her beat.
Yeah. Maddie shouldn't be in this group. She's trying to be in this group,
Maddie's
trying to force
weakling.
Her way. Yeah. She's
well,
not.
I mean, she was the founder.
You can't get rid of the founder.
Yeah, but sometimes you get outbeat. You know what I'm saying? Like, you move past well, the original idea.
There needs to eventually be a board of directors who like yes. vote her out.
They need yes. to vote her out. She has so much control.
Yeah, shareholders meeting.
Yeah, she yes. has 60%. She needs
yeah.
to get
yeah, it's too much.
To take that down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early retirement.
Yeah. So then they're like, oh, we've got to leave. Like, this is just messed up.
Yeah.
So
where's Caleb?
Caleb is.
Oh, he's around.
Around.
He's also around. With them finding.
And he's like freaking out too.
Yeah. So then.
Guilty.
Blah, blah, blah. They're leaving. They're trying to get away.
They're trying to like, but it's by foot. They have to go by foot. So it's going to take a couple days. So they're like, we have to go.
I think at some point they find Aunt Julie, whose face is now busted yeah. up because Uncle Ed beat her, took the gun and left.
Yeah. So she was like trying to convince him to leave. And he's like, I'm not going to die here with you guys. I'm taking the gun. I'm leaving. So he leaves. So he's not there. So it's just them. They're going to go and try and hike home. They,
at some point.
So you only have one woman of color character in your yeah. whole book and you make her an abuse victim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Man, me yep. and you going to have words.
Sean.
Sean.
So then, oh, but well, then Abigail runs off. So then they hear screaming.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, what's going on? And her brother, Charlie, is like, I'm going to go try and save her.
No.
And then he's like, he holds Maddie's face and he's like, you're a good runner. If I tell you to run, like you need to run and don't look back because that's how you'll survive. You cannot run anybody. And she's like, okay.
What a weird time for a pep talk.
But she chases him anyway.
I believe in your running.
Yeah. Yeah. So she chases him anyway. He goes there. There is a masked person that is attacking Abigail. Charlie jumps in and she's like,
They're wrestling.
There's a knife. Oh no.
Abigail, it's taken off without a second look.
Come on.
Yeah.
And Maddie's like, no, we have to help him. Abigail's gone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's a smart choice.
And Charlie's like, run. Abigail, get out of here. Maddie, run. Yeah. And she's like, should I stay? I don't know what to do. He gets stabbed in the gut. He falls over dead. And she's like, nah. And she decides to run. So she runs back. She's like, Charlie's dead. Abigail came back.
Missing or something.
So
they do find her later. I forget when she comes back.
Though. But they're like, we've got to go. This is crazy. Everybody's dying. So then they're hiking. And they're about to make camp.
Is this when they find a cabin? Yes. Okay. So they find a cabin. They go inside. They're like, oh, good. We can find a radio. What? Uncle Ed is fucking dead. Radio is smashed.
He has antlers carved into his forehead.
Oh, again, come on, man.
Blood yeah. everywhere.
Blood everywhere. He's super dead. The gun is there, though. So, Mitch?
Oh, yeah.
The dad.
This is when shit gets whack.
And I think this is where you would probably jump in on this. So, Mitch is like, because there's a knife on the ground. It's Caleb's knife.
Oh, yeah. That's what was used to cut up
Damn.
Uncle Ed.
Yes.
So, Mitch, Maddie's dad, is like, Caleb, you're the killer. And then
fucking Aunt Chris loses her goddamn mind.
She goes insane. So
they tie Caleb up.
Yes.
Oh, no. Okay. So, oh, yeah. Mitch, Maddie's dad, is about to shoot Caleb. Caleb takes a run at him, points the gun at the ceiling. Gunshot goes off then. Aunt Chris runs up, takes the butt of the rifle, knocks him out cold, ties him up, and then comes at him when he wakes up with a fucking hot poker.
Yes.
Burns his face trying to get him to confess to the murder.
She carves the antlers into his forehead trying to get him.
Dripping down his face, cheeks, burnt as hell, and then starts digging her nails into his cheeks.
Then she cuts across his scalp and starts digging her fucking fingers into the cut,
come on,
being like, tell me.
That's when you were like, no.
Well, because
there's a line you don't cross.
You're not getting good information anymore.
No.
You know, at a certain point, that's not real good
information. Yeah, he has not confessed. Like,
yeah.
The whole time he's like, I'm innocent. And then,
Maddie is pretty sure he's innocent too. And she's like freaking out.
Yeah, but why is she sure that
he's innocent? Because
he's cute. Yeah.
Because of that half dimple.
Mm-hmm. And the blue eyes and brilliant teeth. So,
and a blood burn face,
blood swollen burn.
He's ruined forever.
He's gonna look fucking Like, yeah. He's going to look like Jeremy Renner for the rest of his life. So they...
Jeremy Renner.
What do you got against Jeremy Renner?
Jeremy Renner.
Dude?
No, he is. He's got that like beat dude. But handsome face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he's got a beat face for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. A little bit. So so the adults kind of walk away and he's like in and out of consciousness, but he's like, Maddie, let me go, please. You know I'm innocent. And she's like, ooh. So she grabs a knife and she's about to cut it. And then... Chelsea's like, what the fuck are you doing? He's the killer.
Uh-oh.
And she's like, yeah.
We don't know that.
And then she drops the knife.
I get kind of fuzzy. This is kind of where I started to skim because I didn't have a ton of time.
Okay.
I get fuzzy on what happened. Chris and Mitch hear something, or Dylan has taken off.
Yes.
They come
back. She's upset because her boyfriend died.
Of course.
And she was just like straight up fucking disgusted with her mother's behavior.
Yeah. She's like, mom, what
the fuck? She's just watched her mother torture a man.
That's right. She storms off into the woods.
She runs off. Chris and Mitch chase after her.
No, not yet. She storms off into the woods and Mitch is like, just let her go. The killer's here. Nothing's going to happen. They hear a scream.
Then they chase after her.
Then Chris and Mitch run into the woods.
Then they...
And they've made camp kind of like in front of the cabin. So there's like a campfire and like some logs that they're sitting on.
Yes.
And then the woods is like right after that. And so they run into the woods and then Chris comes out and she's covered in blood.
Dylan's dead. And then Tommy and Charlie walk in?
Yup.
Wait, how are they alive?
Exactly.
It was a prank.
It was a death prank.
It was a death prank, really.
No, everybody, so they walk in and it's like, what the fuck? And they're like, yeah, it's been us the whole time.
We killed all those people. And Tommy's like, Tommy's just like fucked up.
Yeah, Tommy's just an angry dude. Tommy's also a bit of an incel.
Yeah, very much of an incel.
They're both incels.
Charlie is an incel, but he had a girlfriend.
Well, Charlie wasn't incel. Charlie was misogynist.
Like a red pill.
Just
dude.
Fun.
He was like
full on misogynist because it's like, oh, Dylan's gonna leave me. She doesn't deserve to live.
So he had all
he killed Dylan. They all of a sudden start confessing. It does sort of seem like Tommy's just along for the ride because he's a murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlie's out of his fucking mind with judgment. It is like 7. He has decided everyone's a sinner. So it turns out
Mark for
cheating.
Was it? Yes.
Cheating with Aunt Julie. He killed Uncle Ed for being abusive. They killed Jason just because.
Jason was just wrong place, wrong time.
There. He was like an excuse to be invited because he was Abigail's boyfriend, I guess.
They killed
Uncle Ed. Did I already say that?
Yeah, because he abused his wife and his child. His son. So his son was abusive.
And so they killed Dylan because she was going to break up with him.
So then...
Now they're like, time to die, Aunt Julie, because you are also an adulterer.
Well, and because they were like, she let Uncle Ed be on Brian.
Oh, wow.
And so Brian's standing there and Brian's like, don't kill my mom. And they're like, oh, really? You're going to protect her? She didn't protect you. And he like is thinking about it. And then he steps in front. And he's like, don't shoot them. And so they kill Brian.
Yeah. So they shoot Brian and they shoot Aunt Julie. And then.
So they kill them both.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then who dies next?
Chris is dead already, right?
No.
She was like bleeding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Chris is dead and we don't find out why just yet.
Yeah.
So then the only.
Where's Maddie throughout all of this?
Standing. They're in the cabin. So like
they don't know about
No, she knows. She's watching.
This is when they're all finding out. So at this point, Charlie and Tommy, they killed. So Charlie and Tommy killed Mark, Uncle Ed, and Jason and Dylan where nobody saw. But now, right in the cabin with Maddie, Chelsea, and Abigail all there, they have killed Aunt Julie and Brian. And they're like, cool. Chris is dead too, and now Mitch is next, Charlie and Maddie's dad. And you're like, why? Except that you've sort of been suspecting something is weird the whole book.
Because he and Chris have been talking about money and also that like they owe Uncle Ed money. It's just he's a weird thing.
Uncle Ed is blackmailing them for something.
They murdered the mom.
Mm-hmm.
For why?
It was an accident. What they were going to do is they both needed the money, so they were going to blow up the office for the insurance.
For the insurance.
And she was working later than they expected.
Later than she was expecting.
And that's why moms shouldn't work.
Moms shouldn't work for that reason.
That's the
moral. Also, Chris had been working with the mom, and she like had a bad deal. And so she's like, I need to get rid of the evidence of this too. So like, let's just leave the evidence in the building, burn it down, then collect insurance. So both of them had something to gain.
Mm-hmm.
And also the dad had a gambling problem. So
which
they burn it
sense.
Down by explosion. Didn't need to do that. Burn it down and she was in there. And so
she died. So now Charlie found out about that.
Mm.
Realized Uncle Ed was blackmailing them. And that's when he like snapped and went crazy.
And then one of them all.
And then just decided the whole group of parents was fucked up and shouldn't live.
So now what is he going to do with Maddie and
So he
and
was
Abigail
like,
and-
I have the plan. He's like, Maddie, Abigail, or I'm sorry, Abigail's dead also?
At some point, Abigail dies and I forget. Is she trying to protect somebody?
Yeah, I think
they
she
kill
tries to
Abigail,
somebody.
But they don't really mean to.
Yeah.
She
it's
was
like
never.
Tommy too.
Yeah.
Tommy dead too?
Yeah, no.
Tommy, so
like,
Tommy
does it or something. Yeah. He kills her or something. She dies.
Does Abigail attack Tommy? No, Caleb attacks Tommy.
Yeah.
So
their plan is we're just going to kill everybody and blame it on Caleb. He's the psycho guy. He brought us all out here.
He's the stranger.
Yeah. And they're like, come on, Maddie, like, let's just go with it. And then who kills Tommy?
First, he lights his dad on fire, and that's how he dies. He, like, throws gasoline on him and lights him on fire. So Maddie has just watched her brother torch their dad.
And he just burns to death.
He's just dead.
Because he wants him to die the same way that
mom
died. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then,
so
dad's
like,
dead.
Maddie, we're free. Let's go be happy together.
And she's like, you're fucking delusional.
Crazy.
Yeah.
She's like, no way. And he's like, okay, well, then I'm going to kill you. And she's like, wait.
No.
He's like, I'm going to kill
Chelsea.
And she's like, ah, shit, no.
So
and
it's
he's
like, you kill Caleb or I'm going to kill Chelsea.
So he gives her the gun and she shoots Caleb.
No.
But she shoots him. Well, so she shoots him and he falls.
And then Charlie's like, great. Didn't think you were going to. Oh, we forgot. Before she shoots Caleb, Caleb has attacked Tommy and smashed his skull into the ground.
Like 7 times.
Like over and over again.
So
Tommy
dead.
Is dead at this point. So then blah, blah, blah.
Everybody
Maddie
in this
shoots.
Book needs
yeah.
To be
and it
up.
Is yeah. Violent as fuck.
Yeah.
So smash, smash, smash. She shoots Caleb. Charlie's like, great. Okay. We can all go home now. Thank you so much for your participation.
Yeah.
Let's
and she's like, let's hug. So then he's like, okay. So she hugs him.
No, he says, let's.
Oh, yeah. He's like, let's hug. Something. And she's like, okay. So she hugs him and then she just shoves him as hard as she can. And he trips
into the fire.
Yeah. It trips and falls backwards into the campfire. And he's like, kind of burning, but he's trying to get out. So then she gets the canister of like the stuff he poured on the dad. And she's like, and throws it in the fire. It so explodes.
He burns too.
He burns. So then she's like, oh, man.
She's a murderer.
Yeah. She's a murderer. So.
So then it turns out, so Caleb is still conscious. She purposely shot him in the shoulder.
Yeah.
So it seemed like she killed him.
And then
she, because she's such a fast runner, runs for help. And then we end the book in the hospital with Caleb having survived.
And he's, and then his, the like last
The very
line.
Last line of the whole book.
He looks at her and he goes, my hero.
No, my hero. My Mustang Maddie.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Ew.
Right?
Ew, does
I'll
he?
I'll tell you right now.
Ew, don't.
My
really?
Hero, my Mustang Maddie. I'm pretty sure.
No, I think you're
he
right.
He definitely says Mustang Maddie
I
again.
I think you're right, and I really don't like that. Yes. No, he says, there she is. Mustang Maddie. My
hero.
Oh.
And that's how it ends.
That's wild.
It is. It was a wild book.
This is not what I thought the book was going to be about at all. I thought it was going to be like, you know, teens dating and making out and, you know, some like coming of age type shit. I did not expect murder. I did not expect conspiracy. This was a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also the volume of murder.
Yes.
A lot.
The extremity of it.
Yes.
It was so extreme. The violence was way more than in a typical book that we read.
Yes.
Y'all do this every week.
Yeah.
Yep.
Y'all read violent shit like this every week.
Yep. It's not usually this violent, but yes. Yeah. Death and horror and supernatural shit every week.
I'm gonna give y'all a nice book to read.
Please.
Please.
Please. Because even our books that are supposed to be nice are like Lurleen McDaniel, where it's like the whole time it's like
cancer drama.
My boyfriend is dying and then he died.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a book where it's like, we're going to go to a chipper party, and then they go to the party and they're like, well, we got in trouble. We stayed out a little too late, but we're all best
we
friends
stayed out a little
and I
too
can't
late.
Wait to see you at state next year.
Let's never forget this night.
Yeah.
We do on our Patreon. We do these things called cozy mysteries sometimes, okay. Which we've done two of them because listeners get to pick. So they're outside of the genre, and cozy mysteries are extremely nice.
Way too cozy.
Way too cozy.
Okay.
It's like
really it's like a woman who bakes chocolate chip cookies also solves murders.
Like
yeah.
That.
Or like a plucky
still
bookseller
murder.
Solves a murder.
But they're like, yeah, I don't know. I just like after receiving all of this information for, you know, the first time, according to you guys.
What if we had made that all up? Like we improvised that together? We'd be such good improvisers.
Seriously.
I mean, hey, someone's improvising in front of San Diego Comic-Con.
Oh, man. Thanks for...
Miss Kelly Nugent.
Yes, I will be.
But I walk away from that being like, what was the point in all of that? Like... What do you want me to walk away thinking? Not to trust my family?
Not trust anybody. Yeah. You can't trust anybody.
Just to think, wow, a lot of people died.
Yeah.
Like Battle Royale, which is like, you know, I think just as
gruesome. Yeah, I've read that. Yeah.
But you walk away with like a message like, you know, of like, you know, society is corrupt and the older generation thinks that they're so much better than this younger generation, but perhaps they're not. And perhaps there are good people. Mm-hmm. I don't know what your dog is doing, but I love it.
Yes. Oh, this is the corn dog.
Edwin just stands up when he wants to. And then he like squints.
But it's so straight.
Very straight and very still.
And he can stay like that for a while.
Wow.
I forget because I'm so used to it. I forget what a magic trick it seems like when you first see it.
Because he's not even standing up. He's sitting.
Yeah.
He's like fallen back on his haunches.
Wow.
He has a very flexible tail.
That's Edwin.
Yeah.
Found him on the street, little circus dog.
Looks like he's protesting you.
I love that grunt at the end.
Seriously grumping at me right now. I don't know what you want. I took you out before
treats.
We started.
Treats on
I
treats.
I gave you FOOD.
Oh, just, you can't say the word?
No, because he'll know. The ears will go up.
What?
You know what? I'll do it and I'll give him a little bit just so you can watch these ears go up right now. Edwin, do you want some food?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Do you want food?
Perk?
He cocked his little head. Do you want food?
Animals are wild, man.
They are. If I ask my cats if they're hungry, they all go like,
look at how crazy he's going now.
Oh, my God.
Look at his little sounds.
Look, Edwin, you don't want to know what we've been talking about.
I know, Edwin. Your little mind.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I made you do that. But I don't understand what the point in all that was.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of seemed like a little bit of a morality tale, right? Like, don't... Like, classic horror slasher thing, right?
Yeah.
She's a final girl.
She's
a virgin.
She's the most pure
she's
of all
prudish.
Of them. That's true.
She doesn't drink. She doesn't smoke. The people that do are dead.
She's not black.
No, she's not. I mean, if she was, we'd know.
Yeah.
Because...
He's made it clear.
Yeah, it would be made clear. Wait, did Aunt Julie die? Oh, yeah, she got shot.
Oh, no. No one survives.
No one survives
except
for those two
girls. If anyone was black, it would have been like, oh, and her beautiful coffee-colored skin.
Yes.
Like,
yes. Like, yes.
Her nostrils flaring.
Yeah. Like, very, like, exoticized
full
for sure.
Lips. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looked like a Nubian princess.
We did
a badonk.
We did seriously come across one of the books we read. One of the characters kept being described as, like, a Nubian
exotic
queen and a...
Her
also
dark,
like,
gleaming
Egyptian
skin. It was just like, it was a lot. And it was somebody who goes like, I couldn't possibly be racist. Look how well I'm describing this beautiful black character.
Yeah.
And I'm sure like it was well-intentioned and also it was the 90s and she was trying, but it is
like chill out a little
obviously
bit.
An othering thing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like tough in that it's like that or just not be mentioned at all. And I don't know which one I prefer.
Yeah.
Well, it should be.
I wish it could be a different option.
Yeah.
A third one.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So I feel like
there have been a couple books where it's like you just get the name of a character and it's like, oh, and her name was Tina Martinez. And no mention is made of how she looks. No mention is made of the fact that she's Hispanic. It's just that's her name. And it's like, thank you.
Yeah. That's cool.
But like, it would be cool too, right? If, I mean, I think this probably would have to come from like a Latinx writer, but like if culture was a part of it without being the thing, you know?
Like it felt honest and authentic and didn't feel like it was being like thrown in your face.
Yes.
Like you meet like, you know, what the family is like and you see what the family home is like.
Yeah. And that, you just recognize it as a shared experience.
Yeah.
Tina Martinez, like those kind of characters, even when it is just like a name, they're just like background and like you don't get to know them in depth or anything like
that. Yeah, for sure. And
or it's like they just act very white and then you're like, oh, so this is just, you're just trying to like.
It's throwing in a different ethnicity without actually.
Yeah, like this person doesn't seem to have ever experienced anything that
different.
A truly like a person of color would actually experience. So it's like, oh, you're just. Trying to
and
have
really
this character.
It's because like you never get much of the best friend story. So if it's a best friend, you're not getting the best friend story.
No, you will not.
But we have tried to find writers, like non-Caucasian writers in this genre. It is non-existent.
It's the same thing with sci-fi too, right? Like
a lot of genre fiction.
There's a theory. Yeah. Like sci-fi and horror and stuff like that. It's very hard to find.
Yeah.
Writers of color. I mean, truly though, you know, perhaps like if you're going like super specific in this subgenre, niggas just ain't camping like that. You know what I mean? Like, like ain't nobody gonna be like, hey, yo, you want to come camping, but we got to go there by a horse. I'm gonna say, no, I'm good. I'm gonna stay home.
Honestly, I was shocked that Aunt Julie was there.
Yeah, but she's only there because her husband was threatening her.
That's the thing. Yes, because he was threatening her, and
he's like, if you don't go on this horse camping trip,
I will kill you.
I will punch you in the face.
Yeah. I will punch Brian over and over again. Brian.
All right, I'll go camping.
I'll go fucking camping.
I don't know the first thing about it, but I will do it.
Yeah, but I'm gonna fuck my lover while we're there.
My mom was telling me about this time that she went on a date with this dude. This was the first time she ever went hiking. And she was like, she actually just told me this weekend. She's like, yeah, I don't think I really like hiking. And this was like after being married to my dad for like a long time. And my dad has dragged us hiking. And I like hiking. But she's like, I don't really like
not
it.
A hiker.
And she's like, I just remember the first time I ever went like this. I was going on a date with this white guy and he was like, oh, we'll go hiking. And she's like, what do you do? And he's like, well, you just like walk in the woods. And she's like, to what? And he's like, oh, you just walk. And she's like, are we going to do anything? No, and he's like, no, we're going to walk. Yeah. And she's like, oh, okay. And she was like, it was pretty boring.
It's terrible. Unless you have like good views or something like that.
Yeah.
That
or if it's like in it's, somewhere really beautiful.
Are
like
you on drugs?
Or sure. If you know the person really well and conversation is going to flow easily, but for like a beginner date that seems like a weird choice because you are truly getting to a place where you can't easily
there's no
get
cell phone service it's
and
not
like
good.
Huffing and puffing and being like so yeah you say you work at us. I don't want to fucking talk to you I'm dying
for me I
small
don't
talk
I don't,
while you're out of breath no thank you
horrible. I also don't like hiking. I love hiking if it's like in somewhere very beautiful. Like I did a lot of hiking in Vancouver, but that's because it was like in the most beautiful woods I've ever seen, and then like you could go up to this rock where you would like see like the entire sound, and that was really cool. But like, I don't like when people are like, let's go hiking. It's going to be really hot. There's no shade. And we're going to be just like really tired and hot.
It's just like and super dusty. And yeah.
That's me. That's my workout though. Like on Saturday mornings. It just makes me feel like I'm not gaining the weight that I'm definitely gaining. Okay.
I have nothing. So you both like hiking though.
I do like hiking and I like hiking, running outside. When I like running in Griffith Park. That's like my favorite place to go running.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's not for me.
You live in that area?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Anyone there hiking.
What?
It's not for me. I don't like hiking, but I do not begrudge anyone enjoyment.
Yeah, do it on shrooms, my friend.
Say a bit.
Do it on shrooms.
I really want to try shrooms.
Do it.
I've never tried so hard to enjoy pot. Do not enjoy it ever.
What? Really?
I hate it.
I get
it.
Very
I
weird. I get
feeling.
Very
Damn,
weird.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am so bummed. I got a medical marijuana card.
With a couple of I bought Maddie one of those. Chelsea's I know. Over here. Wow.
I'm like. I wish I wasn't so weird. Look, I am weird.
I'll make myself a drink right now. I'll get drunk right in front of you right now.
Let's get fucking wasted.
Do shots. I'll light the shots on fire. I'll do the shots.
Yeah. No, chill out.
We're all gonna do shots right now.
No, I'm okay. I believe you guys. You guys are happy.
We drink beers all the time.
Well, now you guys are turning into cool girls.
Like, I'm just one of the guys.
All
right, I have a question about the book.
Yeah.
Something doesn't add up for me.
What?
So these guys killed them.
Yeah.
According to the stories.
Mm-hmm.
What was the plan there? That they were going to be like, when the police found them, be like, hey, yo, so what had happened was Caleb warned us. And told us that if you tell a story,
no,
and we didn't listen to him, and then all of a sudden people started dying that way.
No, so their plan was to be like, Caleb is crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, they were going to frame Caleb.
Yeah, and they were going to be like, oh, well, he like tried to scare us with the stories are going to come true. And then he killed people like the stories. And he's psycho and he brought us up here and blah, blah, blah.
The thing about stories coming true was just him being like, oh, spooky.
Like, spooky.
Nothing to do with their plan. Also, it was just like purely incidental.
Can you imagine being Caleb? Can you imagine this is your fucking job. You have to like hike around these idiots all the time.
And they're always going to be like wealthy people who are into it as much.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
And then you get with this group and the first thing that happens is,
a horse goes crazy.
A horse goes crazy already. Oh my God. Terrible start to your trip.
No wonder he was so impressed by Maddie's, because usually he goes out with a bunch of dum-dums.
Yeah.
And she was actually able to stay on the horse. So he's like,
because of her runner's legs.
Because of all those runner's legs.
So wait, what was that first gunshot?
Unknown. We have, maybe it was the boys.
Well, yes, this is a good question.
Because it's not answered.
I thought about this. I was like, did Jason, did Tommy shoot something? And I was like, but to what end?
Yeah,
I think that was totally happenstance.
Like,
yeah, I think
like
it was random.
Yeah. And then you're like, okay, the horse is going crazy, we'll just try and have a normal calm trip. And then like the one of the dads brings a gun and you're like, what the hell is this? And then he shoots a deer and you have to kill the deer. And then like the teenage girl hits on you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, like, these people suck. Like, one of the uncle keeps, like, you know, threatening to beat up one of the other uncles and, like, hits his son. And, like, you're there. And then it gets much worse. Like, imagine. And then
horrible murders start happening. And you're the one who has nothing to do with it, but everybody's blaming you.
And then you get tortured.
You get your face burned off. And cut up.
You know, but I blame Caleb for all of that. And
why?
I'm gonna tell you why. You know what? Caleb could have probably hired some other employees, you know, guys, some other people on the payroll, but he wanted that check.
Yeah.
And I've seen it before, you know. My friend Gerald has a show on Snapchat. It's very, very funny. It's called All Dogs Get Money. And, you know, they gave him money to have an animation team and all that. But he's like, I want all the money and I did it myself.
Whoa.
And he had to like change his sleep schedule to where he... goes to sleep in the day and then wakes up at 2 a.m. and works until 9 a.m. because that's when he's most productive.
Oh my God.
And like, that's Caleb, you know, like he wanted all the money, he wanted to do it himself. Couldn't be a hero.
Maybe.
Should have delegated some tasks, asked for some help.
Maybe.
I mean, honestly, and here's the other thing, right?
Yeah, fuck Caleb.
If I were Caleb and the first dead body that shows up,
I'm out.
I'm leaving. And here's the thing. I know the fucking mountains better than these people. I'm leaving.
Yeah, they need me.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Run away. Because here's the thing. You know that if push comes to shove, they're going to band together because they know each other.
Yes.
You're going to be the one that's fucked. You should run.
But this is what I was saying. He lives in the woods. He hangs out with trees.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't have any social skills.
He doesn't know about game theory.
He hangs out with trees all the time.
He hangs out with trees all the time.
Yeah.
They're not good conversationalists.
No.
Mm-mm.
He should have run.
No, Caleb. Yeah,
he should have.
He
could be like, you can follow me or not follow me, but I'm fucking gone.
Yeah, and you know, they talk about it in therapy all the time. It's like, what are the accountability for your actions? You know, how do you own it? And I feel like you said, he had so many options to run away, and he stuck around for these people who didn't care about him.
Mm-hmm.
Not even Maddie. Maddie left you tied up.
Yeah.
She didn't even cut you out the ropes.
No.
Yeah, she was only thinking about letting him go.
And then she lost the knife. So then it was like, he couldn't even, he had to like... fucking like wrench his arm out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she shot you.
She did shoot him.
Yeah.
She's like, sorry, I shot you. Yeah. Honestly, like,
I don't
want to
victim blame, yeah, but you do need to question your choices.
Absolutely, bro. And you're going to call her like, your hero at
that,
the end?
That part, mm-hmm. I'm like, stop.
She was not the
He's codependent.
Hero.
He, you know what the problem is? He only spent time with trees, and then he like met Maddie.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He'd had nothing between. He didn't have any time to like.
Yeah, it was like trees, trees, trees. A girl who can hang on to a horse and run fast.
And he's like, oh my God, whoa. She's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why he didn't want to date her. He didn't want to ruin it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. But because your dream girl becomes a real girl.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then we're on a ivory pedestal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ivory mm-hmm. tower.
So is the villain of the book Caleb?
Yes. It's Caleb's mentality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's the demon within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It always is.
Yeah.
Truly. Yeah.
And you know what? I should have known Charlie was bad because he's a San Francisco Giants fan.
Oh, Giants fan.
Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from New York.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't like the Giants.
You don't like the Giants?
I got a couple friends that are Giants fans, but they grow out their beard all the time every baseball season. I think it's stupid.
Oh, yeah. What's that about? Thing?
I forget. It's one of the pitchers. He's not even there anymore, but I think Wilson, he would grow out like a big, nasty beard.
Yeah.
So all these Giants fans. Because I went to college in NorCal. In Napa Valley. And I was going there when they were hot, like when they won like 3 out of 5 years, the World Series. Mm. It was so fucking annoying. It's not good to be in a city where they're doing hot and you don't like
Yeah. Because everyone's very smug and excited.
Of course. And you want it to stop.
Yeah.
It was the same thing. I was also there when like Kobe was winning and shit. And I was like, oh, this is terrible.
There you go. So overall, how did we feel about this book?
For the genre, which it is like committed really, really hard to the genre, which I respect. This guy sat down. He was like, I'm going to write this kind of book.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good too. Compared to some of the straight up garbage we read, this was like,
this was a real standout for me.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I thought the stories were unique, having the full stories in there. And yeah. I thought the stories were actually kind of scary.
And like I said, I really liked the Chelsea-Maddie friendship.
Yeah.
You don't often get a friendship like that in these books. So that was a real treat.
And I thought the deaths were pretty cool. And some of them were like they were scary, like gory and... I don't want to say iconic because I don't think any of them really stood out.
No, but certainly a big...
Yes, big.
Colorful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Lots of blood.
And I will say I did not see it coming.
Me
I did
either.
Not
yeah,
know that
I
it was
not
Charlie.
Know when you guys
I
were telling
fully
me.
Believed that Tommy died. I fully believed that Charlie died.
See,
and so the whole time
I
other
thought it
people
was
were dying, I was like, who the fuck is doing this?
Well, now it makes sense why Charlie didn't want
yes.
Maddie to turn
so that moment,
over.
In that mm-hmm. moment, I was like, Tommy is... I didn't think that Charlie had anything to do with it.
But you
I
thought just, he was probably alive?
I thought he was alive for sure. And that it just like, she just happened to not see it. So I was like, oh, Tommy's the killer. But I did not know that Charlie was in on it. I was like, what the fuck?
But I do really respect this book because looking back, it is like, Tommy did say Charlie picked him up from
yes.
jail.
Yeah.
He did let it fly that Charlie had lost his scholarship.
Mm-hmm. He was being really rude to Dylan.
Yes, he was being
yeah,
like, weird
he was
to
being
Dylan.
Unreasonable with Dylan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, we're hearing the dad and Chris talk about his money troubles. And so, yeah, looking back, I was like, okay, there were not zero hints.
No, the clues are there. You
and
just didn't know that. Look
yeah.
And what's crazy is that usually in books, when the clues are there,
they're
the author
screaming
needs,
at
yes,
you.
The author needs to make it obvious enough that you'll see it.
Or they
not
feel
so
they
obvious. Right. But this, I think, did a good job of like the seeds were there mm-hmm. and I was wondering about the seeds, but I didn't know what they meant, which
yeah.
was cool. I thought that part was cool.
Yeah.
So you know what, Sean? You know, maybe you can like, you know, improve your treatment of POC and WC
yes.
specifically. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, you got some good storytelling skills out there. You know, Sean, yeah. I we're very proud of you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, there's always room for improvement.
Of course. Oh, and stop
it's
using so many adjectives.
Book. Yeah.
Too many adjectives.
Yeah, this was his first book. So
oh,
I think
real?
He was yeah, I think he was wow. a little excited
that's
to write
job,
adjectives.
For all we know, this dude is 20. I don't know. Oh, I
wow.
said for all we know. I have no
I'm
idea
see how old he is.
Yeah, how old are you, Sean?
Tell us your real age.
Let's see. Oh, let's see here. Fantastic fiction. Sean Sartre. He looks young. He He was born and raised in a small town in Western Kentucky. His debut novel is Campfire. I'm not seeing his age here. Maybe there's a wiki page about him.
He look young.
He does look young.
He probably young.
Oh my God.
So yeah, debut book.
Not bad.
Not bad at all.
Honestly,
like successful.
Yeah. I wish that that I could write a debut book in this genre that like
was this hit. Solid
that hit yeah. like all the stuff so well
and like yeah for all of my saying that I was skimming and kind of falling asleep, that was on me. I was skimming because I didn't give myself time and I drank coffee and sugar in the afternoon.
My failure to read the book has nothing to do with your talent, Sean. It has to do with the fact that I have failed my English teachers and have lost the ability to read properly. Unless, again, it is an article about the WGA strike, which gives me anxiety every day.
You know what? Sean, start writing articles about the WGA strike.
Oh,
write
man.
A thriller about
yes,
the strike.
Yes, yes.
It could totally be like Chinatown-ish where it's like, oh, but the corruption goes so much deeper.
So much deeper.
And then there's like death.
CAA is having people taken out.
Yes. Yeah. Sean.
Oh, that's good.
Sean. You're welcome.
That's
Sean.
So good. Like one of the negotiators like are dead. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, what happened? Oh, he killed himself. That's weird. He was so happy. Yeah. Okay, I like this.
And so Sean, and, take your notes.
Yeah. And then you'll read the shit out of it. Yeah.
And then make a female lead not perfect.
Exactly.
Like, make her a little not perfect.
Yeah.
Make her unlikable and a little flawed. And you know what? Maybe even make her WOC.
Yeah.
That would be cool. And then, you know, maybe she's investigating it, but she's got vices of her own.
Yeah.
So what's going to happen?
No one else in the guild really likes her. She's like a snooty writer and like, she thinks that her shows are perfect and everyone's just like, fuck off.
Yeah.
They're like successful, but they're not getting the critical acclaim she's looking for.
Yeah, they're hits. Yeah.
She's like writing some Hawaii 5-0s.
Yeah.
It's like still on the air, but it's not getting the write-ups that
and
she wants.
She used to, her and her writing partner used to write some really powerful stuff.
But her writing partner died mysteriously.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And, died mysteriously.
She's been fucked up ever since.
And, written, clutched in her hand is a piece of paper.
Yes.
And it says sellout.
Yes.
On it.
Oh,
and she's like, is that me? Oh my God. Yeah. So that chases her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like this.
Yeah.
Or I guess we could write it.
Well, yeah.
I mean, we could.
Oh, and then the idea that like the show should be created by her and her partner, but like she made a bunch of changes to it just to get it
sold. Get it commercial.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Yes.
And that's
yes,
why
yes,
her
yes.
friend killed herself.
Maybe.
Well, we don't know. We don't know.
You tell us, Sean.
Yeah, you tell us, Sean.
That's up to you, ladies' choice.
So that was Campfire. I think we liked it.
I did. Yeah. I liked it.
I liked you guys telling me it.
I did like seeing you absorb the information.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's always fun to watch somebody who like they have the groundwork laid
out. So you knew who they were.
So like it's still surprising to you because I think that happened with Final Friends. You also weren't able to
that
read.
That was a little mess up. It wasn't that I wasn't able to. I just royally fucked up. I only read the first book of a trilogy. And she was like, no, we were going to read
all three.
And I was okay, so I'm going to
But then
be shocked.
You were like, oh, do you want to spread it out? I was like, no, I do not want to do three episodes on these books. So we did it all in one go, and it was just me telling Kelly what happened. And her reactions were the reactions of somebody who like knows the characters but doesn't know what happens is very fun.
Because it's like hearing gossip about people.
Yeah, because I'm like, well, I know those people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they
you're
kill
like,
who?
Yeah, yeah, you're like,
and
Charlie
did
with
what?
What?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You know, I'm sorry that I failed you guys. I know that, you know, I definitely saw the pain in Lindsay's face of being like, he's known about this for weeks.
I felt empathy for you.
I bumped up our recording schedule as well.
No,
so that's
okay.
on me.
It's mm-hmm. okay. She also didn't tell me the address of this place like an hour before.
Oh, so you were
like,
not in the right headspace.
She was like, it's at my apartment.
What?
And I was like, okay.
Cool.
I don't
you
know
everybody
is.
Knows.
did Did you have anything that you would like to plug?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely check out Culture Kings. You get it anywhere you get your podcast. Check out The Wokest. You can only get it on Stitcher Premium. But if you use code WOKEST, you get like a month for free. My suggestion is just wait like a few more weeks. And then when all the episodes are out, it's only 13 episodes.
Then you can binge it.
Just binge it and cancel that bitch. That's all I need. I just need the listens.
Yes.
And then I wrote on the show called What Just Happened with Fred Savage. It's on Fox. You can watch it. Please watch it. You know, we got a point two, so you know I'm trying to bump that up. Get those resids. So.
Yes.
Do you want to like say what the show is? Because it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's a chat. It's an after chat show, like Talking Dead, for a television show that doesn't exist.
That's cool.
That's fun.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
Yeah, it's very weird. But yeah, it's on Fox Sunday nights at 9:30. But you can watch it on the Fox Now app or Hulu next day.
Yay. And you know, I do want to say that you had the adversity of not reading the book and you rose above it.
Thank you, so much.
And I think that you performed in a stellar way. You're like the Phoenix.
And like I said, you showed up. You didn't make up an excuse.
No, I didn't. And you know, my girlfriend was just like, oh, just fake it. And I said, no, I'm gonna be honest with them. I want to be honest about my scars.
Yeah.
So I can grow and heal.
I think transparency.
Yeah. Emotional vulnerability is really important day and
Brene
age.
Brown.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Do y'all see that Netflix special?
I did not. I watched the TED Talks for it, though.
The Netflix special, she a little too hot. She a little too hot.
Really?
You know what I'm saying? She's feeling herself a little bit. She was like telling jokes and stuff and doing bits. Talking about people recognizing her on the plane. I was like, you need to chill out, Brene. No,
yeah, she's become a bit of a star.
Yeah, she has. Yeah, and honestly,
I'm not needing it.
Because she's in Wine Country.
She is in Wine Country. Yeah, she is. Like,
do we have a take on Wine Country?
Bad.
Thank you. I give Wine Country a giant oof, which I feel very comfortable with because they say that to the like millennial artists. Mm-hmm. They're like, it sounds like nobody's ever said oof to you so that you know when you're not doing good work. Mm. And to which I say, hey, Wine Country,
oof.
Yeah.
That was rough.
I like the entire time I was watching it felt nothing. Like I was just like I could have been just looking at a wall.
Yeah. It was a non-movie.
It was. And I don't think I laughed once. Mm-mm. And I felt bad because a lot of people were like, it's so good. It's so funny. It's so that. It was a nothing movie.
Now those people want jobs.
Yeah. Thirsty.
They want jobs.
I didn't see a ton of people praising it. I will say I really liked Paula Pell in it. But Paula Pell is just very...
I always like Paula Pell.
She always kills
it. But I mean, can't you just get better Paula Pell in
1,000%.
Look, Spiffy and Polar go way back. Mm-hmm. And I think Polar was just like, you know what? You covered me on rent a couple of months when I was struggling. I'm going to give you this check.
Mm-hmm.
And they all got paid to hang out in Napa together. But I know that they know it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
Because they don't talk about it. They pretend like it never happened. Like,
yes.
They know it's not a good movie.
And I know they have taste.
Yeah.
I know they have taste. So I know that. Unless it's like completely self-indulgent because...
It just felt real first draft.
No, I like that point that it's like grown-ups because, Adam Sandler does it. Like, I'm not saying that they don't have the right to make bad movies. Adam Sandler literally makes bad movies to places he wants to take his kids.
Mm-hmm. Just so he can like hang out with his friends and make some money and make them some money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, if you look at it that way, go to town, Adam Sandler.
Absolutely.
Did you watch the Adam Sandler Netflix special?
No. I heard it was good.
It was better
Everybody
than I thought it would be.
Everybody is praising it, though, and I kept meaning to, and there's I forgot, so thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, there's one part in it where I was like, okay, this is a little bit, like, gay panicky, but outside of that part, I was shocked. I was not laughing a lot, but I wasn't, like, it wasn't at all like watching like Jack and Jill or something, you know, it was like, it was not.
Well, I really loved Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
Years and years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I mean, glad that's still there.
Yeah.
And when he was on SNL, I thought he did a great job.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's very clear that, like we said, like he knows that these movies are like pandering to people who just want to like watch really dumb stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He's just like, cool, I'll take your money. Like,
yeah,
the movies, because he does star in really good movies when he wants to.
Like, yeah. And he's a good actor when he wants
like,
to be.
Yeah, like Punch Drunk Love.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
So good.
The Meyerowitz stories, he's like really good in that. So like he's so capable of it. It's so clear that he's just out here collecting checks.
Here's the thing. If I had the opportunity, Hell yeah, I would sell out. I would fucking sell out in a second.
I didn't say all that, but no, of course.
Yeah, like I don't know. I
have said this before because I had a realization that like our generation does not give a shit about selling out. We're like, go make your money. Capitalism is bullshit. Take from the system as much as you can because it's trying to keep us down.
That's why so we do like, FaceApp and all that stuff. Like, we're totally down for
it. Oh, I didn't do FaceApp.
And why we tweet at corporations. We're just like, fuck it.
Yeah. Just nihilism. Like, we're the most nihilistic generation.
Give me your money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was Gen X because Gen X was the don't sell out generation.
Yeah. They tried to reality bite. But then they got destroyed by it.
Yeah.
And now look at all of them. All those stars. Like,
yep.
They're all fucking sellouts.
And also like Gen
now they're
X,
making wine country.
Yeah. Well, and truly. It's like a generation that's like rapidly disappearing and being subsumed by millennials. Like Gen X, or wait, was that Gen Y? Gen Y disappeared, right?
We were going to be Gen Y.
Yeah.
We were going to be Gen Y and then it's millennials.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Never mind. And then Gen Z. Actually, Gen Z is the most nihilistic generation because they don't think anything matters because nothing matters to them.
Yes. And they're the chosen ones. They're going to fix everything.
Hope so.
Because everything's broken.
Everything's broken. Wow.
Whee! Chipper episode of Tinkers.
Yes. If you are watching, reading along with us.
Well, you host a TV show now, so.
Oh, yeah.
Can understand why you got confused.
Yeah. Get on our Instagram and Facebook and tell us what you liked, what you didn't like, or what you'd like to see more of. That was probably...
I was going to say, don't do that. When do we ask people to do that, Kelly? But I realized that you were talking El Rey talk.
That's... I always have to say
that line. I
was like,
I don't want to hear what you didn't like. Fuck off. Don't listen to the podcast.
I know. I don't want...
This podcast is going to be what it is.
Okay. I have
do not need you telling us how to make it.
Okay. Before we go, I have a... What would you do? I have a hypothetical.
I also have a question. So you ask yours first.
I have a hypothetical. Okay. You've been dating this person for, let's say, 2 years. It's been going great. You guys are a wonderful relationship. And then, like, you see them kind of, like, doing something on their phone, and they're kind of being, like, weird and private about it. And you're like, what are you doing? And they're just like, they're not being weird and private. They're just doing it. And you're like, like, for some reason, you're not being nosy, but you just, like, ask, like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, I'm just leaving a 1-star review for this podcast. And you're like, oh, is it, like, a racist podcast or is it, like, a Nazi podcast or something? And they're like, no, I just didn't really like it. And you're like, oh.
It's like, I just wasn't interested in, like, the subject material. And I thought
it was boring.
I thought the female hosts were kind of grating and shrill.
Yeah. And then you find out that they regularly leave 1-star reviews on podcasts that they just don't really like. What do you do?
This is a real person?
Mm-hmm. This is a person that you've been dating and you just found this out 2 years in the relationship.
I've never left a 1-star review on anything in my life. I've had Uber drivers kidnap me. And I've still been like, you know what? 5 stars, you deserve your money. You're trying to raise a family. I don't know. I would just think that person is trash. We'd probably argue about it, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'd probably stay in that relationship.
I would
stay in a relationship with Kellyanne Conway because I don't value myself.
Oh,
Edgar. Don't do that. Don't stay in a relationship with Kellyanne Conway.
Or worse, someone that leaves 1-star reviews on podcasts.
Yeah, which is disgusting.
It's worse
than Kellyanne Conway.
It is. It's worse than asking a Jewish reporter for their ethnicity.
Yep. It is. what would you do, Lindsay?
I would try to talk them out of doing that. But honestly, if we already had like a really good relationship outside of that, I wouldn't break up with that person.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't break. I think I would, like, it would be a serious talk though, because I wouldn't be able.
I would
able,
just be like, why?
I would also like read a lot into it and like project that onto other parts of their personality.
Absolutely.
Because then I'd be like, you're the type of person that like wants to hurt somebody.
Well,
like,
if you, this, then what?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So then, like, they would do something, like, they'd show up late and be like, of course you showed up late. You leave 1-star reviews on podcasts.
It'd be everything.
Yeah, of course. I get that.
Like, they would just be like, and I'd be like, why are you sighing? Are you bored? Oh, you're bored? You're going to give me a 1-star review? Like, that type of thing.
Yeah, you need to work on that.
I do need to work on that.
Yeah.
That's something that I'm actively working on.
Yeah.
Okay, I was just curious because I was thinking about that. I was like, who are these people?
What was your question?
My mom called me 3 times.
Just now?
Yeah.
You got to call her back. Dude.
Is it? Yeah. What are we thinking? Dead? Someone dead?
Possible. Mm. Possible.
Or, I regret this bit if someone's dead.
Yeah, or she's like, I need information. I'm filling out a form online.
No, I don't know. It's Texas, so it's 10:33 over there.
Oh, I hope that everyone's okay.
Well, let's cut this short then. Or not even short. Let's go ahead and end this appropriately.
Let's end.
Keep this in, even if the person, if I text you guys and like someone died, keep this in.
Okay.
You know what? Keep it real.
I'm going to keep it real.
Yes. thank you so much to our listeners. You are so wonderful. Thank you so much to Edgar for being a wonderful ghost.
Am I dead? Is that what my mom's calling me?
Oh my God, I did not mean to call you a ghost.
His mom is calling him to tell me he's dead.
She's like, oh my God, you're dead. Oh, I'm so sorry. Host.
Guest.
Yeah, I'm not a host either.
Maybe that's what it was. You started to say host for no reason, and then you tried to say guest correctly, and it came out ghost.
If you would like to support our show, you can leave a happy podcast review on Apple Podcasts or the podcast app of your choice.
Oh, yeah. Reminder, if we get to 1,000
by August
podcast reviews in the U.S. by August, we will cover every single Lifetime movie of the V.C. Andrews Castile series. If we do not get 1,000 reviews by then, and by the way, we're very close, we're at like 928, then
it's at 930 something now. So guys, it's like 68 of you.
So would you
I'm gonna leave a review, and I'm gonna tweet for people to leave
a review. Yes, please.
I want y'all to watch those trash ass movies.
Yes, you should come on and talk with us about it. Like we're gonna watch some trash. Like they look messy.
Yeah.
Like straight up crazy. Like crazy Jason mess. Priestley is in it.
Yes, Jason Priestley.
Okay,
and Julie Benz is in it, guys.
Oh, this is signs. This is signs that these are bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's going to be good, good, good. So do that. Guys, we're so, so close. And if you want to support us in a more direct way, patreon.com/teencreeps. We got some cool stuff on our Patreon. Mm-hmm.
And if you are a Patreon subscriber and we don't get to 1,000 reviews by August, our Patreon listeners will have access to those episodes.
Yes.
So.
And thank you so much to everybody who's already left a review.
Yes.
We appreciate it.
We love
you. We know our numbers, and a lot of you are not showing up. So let's do this.
We know.
We know.
We know. We see you, and we know, and leave a review.
Leave a review. Thank you so much. Thank you again to our podcast ghost.
our resident ghost.
and thank you to Edwin for being a good corn dog. And we will see you guys next time.
Yep. Keep it creepy.
Forever.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Kelly Nugent, Lindsay Kaytai, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. Engineered and mastered by Alex Sarche. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.